Well, our next guest has been in the circles of the Trump administration for some time now. He's been involved as an advisor to Trump as a candidate and as a president. Stephen Moore, senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation and an economic consultant with FreedomWorks. Stephen, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Steve. Good morning.
Good to have you here on a Monday. A lot of talk about the Green Revolution out there, and my concerns with the Green Revolution are probably different than others. I have certain beliefs about what I think threaten this country. But you say in a startling comment here that without mining, one of the big, you know, this is the big boogeyman, one of them for the social and environmental justice warriors, is mining is the destruction and the destroyer of the planet. But you say without mining, there is no Green Revolution. Do explain.
Well, first of all, we have a Green Revolution in America. It's called shale gas, which has been godsend for our country, for both our economy and our jobs and our environment. So we're reducing our pollution levels very significantly because we're using more natural gas. And you know, I was just in Ohio, Pennsylvania. Those have become major sources of natural gas. Perhaps two of the biggest producers of natural gas in the world are right there in the Midwest. So we do have a green revolution, and it's called natural gas. But the left doesn't like natural gas for some reason. So they want to move us towards wind and solar power and battery engines and so on. And one of the points I made in the article you're mentioning is that, you know, batteries, if you want solar power, wind power, you need these strategic minerals to make those technologies possible. But by the way, Steve, you also need these minerals for our cell phones, for our defense systems, for so many of the high technology products that we have today. And we're now dependent on China and Russia for 80 to 90 to 100% of our minerals, which is crazy because we have more of these minerals than any other country, and we should be using them.
Well, I agree with that. You know, I want to back up just a little bit about the gas, the shale gas that we have discovered through the American Energy Renaissance, which, by the way, happened in spite of Barack Obama. He tried to take credit for it late in his presidency, but we all know that those advancements came on private land, not on federal land, because he closed almost all of it to energy exploration, and so it's important to set the record straight. But I want to go back to the gas because in America, in states like Michigan and Kentucky and other states, have been coal-fired power plants are being shut down almost all the time. Coal-fired power plants are being mothballed, decommissioned, taken offline. Meanwhile, the biggest coal mine in the world is in Mongolia, and they run trucks 24 hours a day to the Chinese border, these giant Mack trucks, by the way, with a bulldog on the hood. 24 hours a day, the biggest trucks you've ever seen, these giant dump trucks. 24 hours a day, because China is building literally hundreds of coal-fired power plants, not just in China, but in other places around the world. So what difference does it make when you talk about such things, what we do here?
Well, you've got it exactly right. And by the way, not just China, India is building coal plants. Vietnam, which is a country with 100 million people, about one-third as large as America. So basically what's happening, I mean, explain the rationality of this. For every time we shut down a coal plant in the United States, these other countries, you know, open three or four or five of them. So all we're doing is destroying our own energy jobs and transporting them to places that have a much worse environmental record than we do. By the way, if you're worried about climate change, you know, this isn't a local pollution. If China's emitting all this carbon in the atmosphere, it has the same effect as if Michigan does it. So I'm very favorable towards coal, by the way. You know, we have the cleanest coal in the world. You're right, Michigan. I'm from Illinois. Illinois is a coal-producing state. We're shutting down our coal plants at the same time these other countries are building more. Now, I will say this, though. I don't know if you noticed the last week, Donald Trump passed some regulatory relief for the coal industry that's going to hopefully revive that industry. Because when I was on the campaign trail, you know, we went to the coal towns, and they've been decimated by Obama. You know,
destroyed.
Towns in West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania. I mean, tens of thousands of Americans just lost their jobs for no reason at all. So, look, what I favor, by the way, is just let's have a level playing field. We've got all sorts of different sources of energy. Oil, gas, coal, nuclear power, wind, solar. Let's just let the government get out of the way and decide what's the most economical. Now, if you did that, there wouldn't be any wind or solar power, because wind and solar are not at all economical. The only reason that they, well, with few exceptions, but for the most part, the only reason we have wind and solar power is because states mandate them.
And that's right, and you get credits for it. Yeah, taxpayers get to foot the bill with tax credits, yes, and supplemental, exactly, income to these companies. And the fact of the matter is, when it comes to energy density, and that's what it's about, energy density, there is nothing superior to oil and coal and natural gas when you look at the energy sources that we have. And America, as you're right, Stephen, it is a blessed piece of real estate. We have more gas, oil, coal, timber, water, farmland, more natural resources than any place on God's green earth. And yet the environmental wackos would like us to take that all away because America's destroying the world or some ridiculous notion.
And that brings us back to what we started this conversation on, which is minerals. So the point I was making is that the same leftist groups that say, oh, we should use wind and solar power. Let's be, you know, in some cases they want us to be 50, 60, 80, 100% reliable on wind and solar power, so-called renewable energy. And yet they don't want to allow us to mine for the very resources that you need to make those feasible. So, you know, we should be, by the way, we have $6 trillion. You talked about America being a natural resource-rich place. You know, God has endowed us with amazing resources.
Certainly.
We have more of these minerals than any other country in the world. And, you know, they're in North Dakota, they're in Wyoming, they're in Colorado, they're in California. And the rules are now, you can't, it's almost becoming impossible to build a mine in America today.
Yeah, the largest formation is under Colorado, the Green Mountain Formation there, the Green River Formation, excuse me.
Yep.
5.5 trillion recoverable barrels of oil with today's technology. You know,
right.
And look what America's doing every day to go forward technology-wise. There should be more than 5.5 trillion recoverable barrels. We are energy independent.
Think about how many jobs that is. Think about how much, what that would do to our GDP.
But you can't touch it.
You can't touch it. And it's
right.
It's becoming a big problem because what happened was, what inspired me to write that article is, you know, we have this trade dispute with China, and China announced a couple weeks ago, hey, we're not going to export our minerals to you any longer. Well, that reminds me of what happened in the 1970s. Remember when OPEC, you know, had their oil embargo?
Oh, sure, 1973.
On the American economy. And why would we, back in the 1970s, we were, you know, the OPEC had the, you know, knife blade right at our throats. And now OPEC is non-existent because we produce so much oil and gas. So we're not dependent on Saudi Arabia and these other countries anymore. Why don't we do that for minerals?
We should.
By the way, can you think of two worse countries to be dependent on for our strategic minerals than China and Russia?
No. I mean, that's so obvious it's stupid, frankly. I mean, it's just so easy. Stephen Moore, always great input here. Senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation, economic consultant with FreedomWorks, and, of course, a consultant and advisor to the president. Greatly appreciate it, Mr. Moore, as always.
Anytime. Have a great week.
There you have it. Stephen Moore here on the Steve Gruber Show on a Monday. Knowledge is your friend. But we bring you the best guests possible to make sure you are completely educated about the facts of these stories you hear so much about in the headlines that are often distorted, twisted, and frankly, well, you're lied to about on occasion. It's the Steve Gruber Show. God bless America. We'll be right back.
Who says you can't build a healthy economy while protecting the environment? At DTE Energy, we're already doing it. DTE is on track to reduce carbon emissions by more than 80%, generating power from cleaner natural gas, solar, and wind, and creating thousands of Michigan jobs, all while keeping energy affordable and reliable. You see, we can have both a healthy environment and a healthy economy. DTE Energy. Find out more at journeytoeighty.com. For all the dinners cooked.
Something smells good.
For all the clothes dried. For all the hot showers. There's safe, reliable natural gas from DTE. We keep gas safe by constantly inspecting, upgrading, and monitoring our lines 24/7, 365. So you can just enjoy all those dips in the hot tub.
Now this is the life.
Find out more at dteenergy.com. DTE.
We first opened about 10 years ago. We were small, just a few of us. But it was exciting. I always dreamt of having my own business. It was kind of slow at first, but things started picking up. We had big plans. But in our wildest dreams, we never, never thought we'd have this much work. Yeah, with so many businesses caught off guard by the storm, Reed Waste Management has never been busier.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.